is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you doing today? I'm doing all right. Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. And right up front, I'd just like to wish everybody a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day. It's a very special time of the year, and one in which we all should reflect on the people that made that ultimate sacrifice and service to our great country, you know. And I guess you could say anybody from around the world, too, to remember them as well, people that fought in wars, maybe even our enemies, the people we fought against in World War I, World War II, just to give you a couple of examples. But those people that made the ultimate sacrifice, they're not with us anymore. My father was a veteran of World War II. He was at Normandy and Dunkirk. And my mother, she went through the bombing of London. And they're both in the spirit lands this time in heaven, otherwise known as heaven. And so take a minute on Monday, Memorial Day, if you would please. I'm going to just to reflect on those people. I say in service to our country and elsewhere too, remember them who once existed, were alive just like you and me at one time, who had their lives and did basically the same things we're doing now, and then they had their fate, but perhaps that was the way it was supposed to be, which is a very interesting topic in and of itself to discuss predetermination. It's very, very complicated, I think, and worthy of devoting a lot of time to talk about, but not on this show. I've got lots of things to say just for the first 10 minutes or so, and then I'm going to be joined by a guest. Her name is Karen Grisham Nickel, and I should have checked before the show to make sure her name wasn't Nichols or with Nickel, last name that is. She is a very well-known hypnotherapist and psychic medium, a UFO contactee. She's got tremendous knowledge and experience in those fields, and she's met a lot of very well-known people in her life, and she's going to talk with me about what she believes in, and I'm going to ask her some questions, and it's going to be a good time. So thanks to DBS Radio, Doug, for coordinating that. She'll be calling in at 6:15, and then we'll just hit the road running, so to speak. And talking about running, I ran another mile today. I believe I ended my last show last week mentioning that I was injured growing up when I was young. I slipped on ice, and some things are meant to be, it seems. Who knows how different my life would have turned out to be otherwise. But these accidents that we have in our lifetimes, it seems that they are predetermined. I've heard of a theory where we all existed before coming to Earth, and we got to preview our lives, and we chose who our parents were, who our friends were, the accidents in our life, the major changes in our life, even what we look like. And so then we were born into this world, and then we went through what is known as the River of Oblivion, which is like a veil that we pass through when we're being born into our earthly mothers. And we forget all of our past lives, where we came from, you know, that we pre-existed in the spirit world. So here we are, many years later, after being babies, right? We're big babies, essentially. Isn't that cool to think of it? Don't call anybody a big baby, though. They might take it personally, you know. But quickly, I wrote down some things, as I do, over the week to talk about on the show, because there's a lot of good things to share in regard to positive spiritual aspects of life. You know, there's so much negativity, especially with the news. I don't blame the people that actually report the news. You know, they're just doing their jobs. They have a job and they make their money, and they really don't have any say in what is reported, but nevertheless, it is rather on the negative side, wouldn't you say? But if you flip through the channels, you won't see too much else other than violence and usually fantasy violence, which is not a good thing. Personally, I like movies that talk about real life stories. Give me people who have had an experience in their lifetimes, make a movie out of that. And there are a few that I've seen. And I know they're making more, and I say give us more of the real stuff, especially now with the pandemic. We see that that is real, more real than anything we've ever seen before. We don't need fantasy violence now in our lives. You know, it kind of dominated everything up until, I think, the COVID-19 situation began. But now, oh, by the way, here comes one of our dogs, and he's going to go out in the backyard and do his thing. So I might be interrupted here and there by the dogs coming and going. I'll have to close the door because I've got my family in the living room. I'm out here in the patio, and so the dogs come and go, and sometimes they might bark too. In which case, I'll have to try to get them to stop barking. Anyway, okay, here comes one fella. His name is Mr. Beta. He's a dachshund. He's male and about maybe 9, 10 years old. He's getting on in years, but he's very strong. He likes to run. I'm going to take him out after the show. After my show, and we'll take the dogs to the local Air Force base and let them run around. There's a place where we go where they can run. Any dog that can run is a happy dog. If you have a dog, just walking them down the street on a leash is not conducive, really, in my opinion, to a dog living a healthy lifestyle. You know, just plain walking. A dog needs to run. They love to exercise their heart, you know. We're born to run. Dogs are born to run. So you can find a little area where they won't bother other people and give them a chance to run around. You see how much they love it, you know. They're going to throw a frisbee at them or whatever. They just love to run. So, just going into some of the things I've written down here. Eric, hey, come on, buddy. Hey, come on. Ooh, thank you. Sorry. So, trying to plunk himself down right by my feet here, so I couldn't move around. And because I'm standing up, I have a little stand workstation here where I work during the week. I telework. I work for the Army at Fort Sam Houston. I'm an Army civilian, and we're teleworking. Most of us are. Some are still in the building, and they're coming up with a plan to get us back into the building in different phases. But to tell you the truth, I really love teleworking. Awesome. You know, you log in the morning and then log off at the end of the day, and pretty much in between, you do what you have to do, answer emails, etc., and then you can go inside, make yourself a little bit of breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever, and go to the bathroom. You don't have to compete. You don't have to get on the road. You don't have to drive and go down the gauntlet, which I called it, on the way to work, what I was used to, driving 20 miles to work. It's about 7 o'clock in the morning. There's so many cars in the road. You see accidents all the time. It's like a gauntlet. It really is. And you're taking your life in your own hands. And you see people dying all the time. On the highway, they flash numbers for the total so far for this year. And so you know, a logical person knows that it's happening out there, and it could also happen to you and me. Well, we pray that it doesn't, right? That's what the only thing we can do. I do. When I get in my car, I pray. Right away. And even if it doesn't work, it's worth the little time and effort to do that just in case. Just in case. That's what's important. Hey, come on. Walk over there. One. Inside. You don't have to go all the way back in. You can stay out here if you want to, but take your mind up. Okay? They want to go back. He wanted to come back out. The first thing he does is come back over to my feet while I'm walking around. So naturally, he's upset and he wants to go back in. And probably be coming back out. But anyway, got a few more minutes before Karen joins us, so let me just go over some of the things I wrote. I thought that the media is blowing the COVID situation out of proportion. And I talked about the negativity. I know that they're just reporting the numbers and et cetera, but it's not too much good news, you know. We don't. Whatever we see on TV affects our minds, you know. So we don't want to be exposed to too much negativity because it'll turn us into negative people. Does that make any sense? So be careful watching the news all the time. I've read about this. Negative versus positive. Negative versus positive, my friend. So learn. Remember that. Some people choose to learn some things and not other things. I saw Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. I only caught the last three episodes. And he is an awesome man with such incredible talent. I think, really, the greatest of all time. I change subjects fast here, you know. I go from one to the other. So stay with me. Please. And thank you for joining my show. Thank you for joining my show out there in Radio Land, Internet Radio Land, which is accessible anywhere in the world, right? If you have access to the Internet, CBS Radio is awesome with all their shows, mainly to do with spirituality. So many thanks to CBS Radio. May God bless them and help them in any way they need it. So Michael Jordan, I just wanted to say something because I read that somebody made a comment that in those episodes of The Last Dance, his eyes looked a little bit yellow. It looked like he might be a little bit sickly, you know. And people have yellow eyes, they have jaundice or something else. So some kind of inner problem. But I kind of had an idea that that might be caused. And I don't mean to judge a person. I'm just, because I love the man, I want to give him a little bit of advice, you know. He's a billionaire. I'm not. But still, you know, he doesn't know me. But I know him because I looked at him, I've watched him on television a lot. But have you noticed that he was smoking cigars a lot? And I think he does. And that smoke can get in your eyes, you know. And that's not cool. You know, that'll shorten your life. So, Michael Jordan, respect to you, and I love you. Please, if you can, give up smoking cigars. I think it'll improve your health. That's all. Moving on. Did any of you see the movie K-Pax? K-Pax. That is an incredible movie with Kevin Spacey about an alien who rides a beam of light, goes into the body of a man who had just almost died. He tried to drown himself because his wife and daughter were killed by this man. And so he killed that man, he killed them. And so he's just overwhelmed with sorrow and tragedy, you know, and he goes and tries to kill himself, but the alien comes and is able to inhabit his body. He comes through a beam of light. And so, some of you are probably familiar with the movie, but in that movie, he says, at one time, he's describing our planet. It's a, if my memory serves me correct, it's a class 3AB, or a class B3A planet, which means, in the lower stages of evolution, future uncertain, and how true that is. We're in the lower stages of evolution, my friends, and we need to raise it up, bring it up. We need to, and I'll tell you how we can do it. And one of the problems going on right now with the COVID situation, I think it's because of this, because that our technology has gone ahead of our spirituality. Let me say that again. So, all of those who maybe already knew that, but just to internalize it, to help make this world a better place, our spirituality needs to keep in line with our technology. And what does that mean for you? It means for you to develop yourself spiritually. I'm going to tell you something, and I'd like you not to forget it, please. Please don't forget this. Are you ready? Okay. You ready? Are you sure? Okay. Now, you're not going to forget this, are you? Please remember this. It's very, very important. You ready? Okay. Here it is. You ready? Here it is. We are here on earth for the purpose of developing ourselves spiritually only. Nothing else. Can you feel that? It's true. Yes, money is consideration. You know, we have a monetary system. I'm not saying that it's the right way to go. We have to raise our children. Yes, I understand that. We have to have a job to make money. I understand it. But are you developing yourself spiritually? Are you satisfied with where you are in your spiritual development so that if possibly, and that's possible, you know it is, a logical person would have to admit that, if you were to pass away tomorrow, where would you be in the spirit land? Just food for thought. Okay, moving on. Also, if our spirituality was in line with our technology, we could make contact with extraterrestrials. They're out there. And there's a lot of reasons why they're not making contact with us now, besides us being a very hostile species. The evidence is very ample, and Karen can talk to us about this as well. It's very obvious to those people that want to do a little research on their own as to the evidence that they exist, instead of saying, oh, they don't exist. I don't believe in them, but they don't do any research to see that they do exist. You know what I mean? There's so much evidence out there that has been available for a long time. These ETs, they've interacted with Earth for thousands of years. We need to all wake up and understand that. And the reason, well, I mentioned it, one of the reasons they're not making contact with us is because... Karen. Okay, thank you, Doug. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing well.
So let me get... I'm sorry. In my haste, I did not do my...
I'm in a place where the Wi-Fi... Hello?
Hi. I didn't do my due diligence, and I apologize. I said your name is Karen Gresham Nickel. Is that right?
Karen Gresham Nickel. Uh-huh. And I'm having a little... I'm in a building where sometimes the Wi-Fi is a little difficult. So if you can't hear me, I have another phone. And I'm having a little hard trouble hearing, too. So.
Okay. Well, you're coming in loud and clear to me.
Okay.
So, thank you for joining us, though. I can't do anything else to my...
Okay, this is great. This should be good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, were you listening to anything I said before?
What you said before? Yes, I heard you before. Yes, that's okay.
Okay. Yeah,
that's okay. It's not a problem.
Well, I mean, I was wondering if you were listening to everything I said up until the time that you joined us. So that we could continue the conversation. But the last thing I was talking about...
Oh, no, I haven't been listening to it until I called just now.
Okay. Well, the last thing, I mean, I've talked about several subjects, moving fast from one thing to another, things I've written down in my book. I did introduce you at the beginning of the show, and book, I mean like notebook, that you were a well-known hypnotherapist, a psychic medium, and a UFO contactee with lots of experience and knowledge in those areas, and that you could share a lot. We have about 45
minutes. I'm not a medium. I'm psychic, but I'm a clinical hypnotherapist who's psychic. Everybody's psychic, but I do energy readings through sound and the energy of a person's auric field. Yeah.
Well, the auras do is a very little studied area that I guess we could study more, and we could learn more about the human being if we did. I think the Russians, from what I've read, were experimenting with the aura and the colors. You know, there's like from what I've read, it can be like a veritable color at the top of the head. You know, you can see how
those
someone's
are the,
feeling.
That's the the crown chakra. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people can see the colors, and sometimes people can just see the air. You know, just like an intense like halo. It doesn't necessarily have, it goes all the way around the body. Sometimes it's usually more pronounced in the crown chakra area. But sometimes you don't see colors, and sometimes you do. Yeah, and the colors are kind of faded into the energy. They're not just bright colors.
Yes, and also if someone has some illness, too, you can detect that, can't you, by looking at the aura?
You can. Sometimes you can, yeah. There are people who can do that. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I was talking about the reason, and I know that you are into the field of ufology. And
I am.
ETs, and have you had any personal experiences with extraterrestrials?
Oh, all my life, since I was a child.
Wow.
And a lot of stories. I came upon having an encounter with one when I was 8 years old in my bedroom. And it was like a child ET, and I was asleep. I had been kind of sick. And he was looking at himself in my vanity. It was really pretty cute. And then I saw him and screamed out for my mother. And when she came in, he vanished into an inner dimension. And I said, I just saw somebody in my looking in the mirror, and he was a cute little guy, and he didn't have any hair. And she said, you're just dreaming. She said, you need to go back to sleep and rest. And I thought, okay. And so back then we had, this was back in the 50s, and people had this little square toy called a click-clack. Do you remember those? They were suspended by a piece of elastic, and they were like colors, and you could hold them up, and they would all, you know, kind of fall down in a little pattern. So I was lying there after this happened, and it was just up in the air by itself doing that, just for a brief moment, and then just fell to the floor. So that was my very first experience with one. And then I've researched throughout, you know, all over, because I've done a lot of work throughout the world. And then I was called on in 1988, 87 by a group of people in Wytheville and Tazewell, Virginia. A psychiatrist was having a lot of coal miners who were having experiences. And so I went there for 3 months to live and interview them. And there's been a book written about it. It took place in Wytheville, Virginia. And the name of the book is called Don't Look Up. And the person who wrote it was actually an editor of that paper.
Don't Look Up. Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was really great. The people weren't hallucinating. They weren't imagining. They were having real, true experiences, and they were hearing their trash cans rattle outside and went to check them in the night. Some people saw lights over an object that looked like a saucer-type, triangle-type thing, and then it just disappeared. And many other stories like that. And there were, all in all, I guess there were roughly about 200 people that I talked with while I was working there.
Yes, that reminds me of the, have you ever heard of the Hudson Valley UFO?
I have. I don't know much about it, though. Yes, I have, of course.
Well, I mean, for the listeners out there, people that might be looking for evidence that they exist, you know, it really changes a person's life, you know. Some people obviously might be trying to make a name for themselves, or, you know, write a book, make money. But
yeah,
it's happened to somebody. What happened to you? What happened to you? Happened has happened to other people as well.
Oh, and it happens to so many people.
That kind of evidence can't be ignored. I mean, that in of itself is very real evidence. And, you know, as far as the ETs are concerned, we know they're out there, but we just can't provide, like, a piece of a spaceship or maybe, you know, having a spaceship land.
They can actually have the ability to interlace with us through interdimensional, and they're here, actually. They're out there and here, and we're out there and here, I think the thing that it's hard for people on Earth, and the way we're constructed, was our energy field, and we don't have as much force. It's not wired like they are, so it's kind of like they can't get too close to us for our health and probably theirs too. So there's a difference in energy of the different dimensions and the effects and so forth and so on. And that's happened at a site that was very famous in Varginha, Brazil. Do you know about that story? It was a long time ago, back in the 60s, I think. And there was a little red being that was discovered in Varginha, and a policeman, finally, it ended up in this office, and it was wanting to be held. I guess it was frightened, and I don't know in detail exactly, but the police held it, and long story short is both of them died, and it was because the fields weren't compatible, and the little being had his feelings were of love and light, but he was made differently to where he was too powerful, his energy field and his energy wiring was too powerful for the earthling. And so it was both that way. And I'm sure there's much of a longer story, but just in that situation, it didn't work out. So I think there's a lot they have to do in order to come in to make communication with them. But that they do, and they make the communication with those who are here to help and to try to raise the consciousness, awareness of people who are still consciously sleeping or can't seem to get it.
And do you think these ETs could, or some of them anyway, could destroy us if they wanted to?
They could have done that thousands of years ago. And because their technology is way higher than ours. And I think that that's not what they're here to do. I think they're here to help us because we have a beautiful planet, the most beautiful in the Milky Way. And we also have other connections with other galaxies and all of these. It's unlimited. But I'm not saying that everything is hearts and roses in relation to the races, because there's so many races out there. Paul Hellyer talked about that at the Senate in the White House in the disclosure May of 2013, and he's the Minister of Defense of Canada, was a long time ago. He's a brilliant man, and he talked about that and said he just couldn't keep it any longer. And I recommend everybody to go to YouTube and type in Paul Hellyer, H-E-L-L-Y-E-R, UFO Disclosure 2013 in Washington, D.C. Hopefully that people
can
go to
YouTube.
What do
you think the government, good idea, yes. What do you think the government is not releasing everything they know about UFOs and extraterrestrials?
Well, I think that a lot of them may have many reasons. I think that a lot of them don't know. And I think that not just any of them have privy to that knowledge. And the ones who do have many reasons. If people are not aware to take it and understand it or interested or fearful of it or judgmental about it, then what would happen if an innocent being who looked different from us just slowly appeared. Well, yeah. that could cause a pandemonium.
Yeah, like in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And it could be taken and been killed. So I've known people who have had encounters with one before, a very famous person. Let's see, what is his name? Clifford Stone. And he was in the military. Do you know about Clifford Stone and his encounter and mission with that? It was beautiful. And
have you heard about... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. Have you heard about the time that President Nixon went with Jackie Gleason? They were good friends together. And they went to a base in Florida. President Nixon took him.
Yeah, and actually went inside, yeah.
And then they showed him, he showed Jackie Gleason an extraterrestrial they had on ice or in a liquid being preserved. And it was, like one of the Roswell-type ETs, gray skin, big head, dark eyes, humanoid. And they say that Jack Gleason was so shocked, affected by that he couldn't eat for like 3 days afterwards.
Yeah, that's on YouTube, I think, for people want to click that in, too, because that's the truth. It was either on YouTube or maybe both that and Ancient Aliens. Or someplace like that. Yeah, I believe that. So some presidents were privy, knowledgeable, and liked it. And some maybe didn't for some reason. I don't know. But
remember
there's
Jimmy
a lot
Carter.
Of... Yeah, I do. He definitely had an experience, didn't he?
He did. And then when he was going to... He said when he would become president, if he became president, he would release the undisclosed UFO files, tell the truth, what the government knows about UFOs and extraterrestrials. And then he did become president, and he sat down with the then CIA director, George Bush Sr., who told him, no, we can't do that. You don't have a need to know, so we're not going to release those files. No, we're not going to do it, And he was most upset, that he couldn't make that happen.
Yes, that's true. I remember that. And he saw it. And so did Reagan when he made an announcement to the UN that we would be more concerned about the peace outside of the Earth, and then we might find peace altogether more on our planet.
Yes. And
so
we forget about all these petty conflicts.
So many people have tried to talk about it, and I don't know what it is. We have a lot of different things right now, and I think that as terrible as this COVID-19 is, it's part of a transition, and it's hard on everybody. It's been terrible on so many people in the Northeast, but I think it's a time for transition into love and caring more about humanity, caring about the atmosphere of our planet, the animals, and everything. That this system doesn't work anymore here on the third dimensional level. It's not working for any side, any political party. It all comes down to a common denominator, which would be to look into a higher truth of love and learn and seek and ask questions within ourselves as to what's going on, what does this mean? And
that's an opportunity. Continue.
I just wanted to make that statement. Please. I think that I'm concerned, though, that people aren't, that this is opening a little too soon. I know part of it has to in some ways, but I'm a little concerned.
Karen, that what you said was beautiful. I mean, it just resonates, and I felt like crying. That's what usually happens when you hear the truth like that. I couldn't have been better said by anybody. It's such a incredible truth there. I hope everyone out there understands what she just said, that this is a very kind of painful transition, but it's necessary for us to get where we're going, to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We were born here on earth to develop ourselves spiritually. We haven't been doing that. That's the way, one way I interpret it. And, you know, it is painful for a lot of people besides the ones who are dying, the ones that don't have a job, who can't pay their bills. I feel for them.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
And
because
it's going to go on,
know,
like you said. You know, it might be better if we wait a little longer, because we don't want a second wave to hit us.
Yeah, but I know a lot of doctors, and because I'm a clinical hypnotherapy, and because I had this connection with this clinic with Dr. Bormi, who was DeBakey's partner in the 70s, but you know, none of them, all of them, believe it's a little too soon, because not because it's too soon, because we do need to open up to some extent, but it's the people. How many people do you see around that are not wearing gloves and masks? Well, more than are, really.
Not, yeah.
And the masks are so important.
And, I got a couple. I ordered some pizzas last night at Little Caesars. I'm lactose intolerant, so I get my pizzas without cheese, but they finally got my order right. But I was noticing when they were making it back there in the back, they didn't have gloves on, you know, and I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, and I saw one of them kind of fooling around with the top of the pizza, you know, taking a piece off or adding a piece with their fingers, you know, and I was like,
it makes you scared, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do people speak out, you know? I don't know. And it's a lot. I'm sorry. But I bet maybe the heat took care of it or something. I don't, you know. But that's what happens. That's where we are. And I think since they have opened, the deaths and the cases have gone up.
Well, Karen, here's a thought. I was talking with Karen the other day, everybody. And, when we were discussing about what the show would be like, and you know what, it's just the thought just went out of my head. That happens sometimes. We were discussing let me see if I can backtrack. Well, it's about the let me go on, maybe I'll remember if I I'll just go to another thing that I wanted to ask you. About the ETs, what do we need to do then to make if we were able to make contact with them, if we were inducted into the intergalactic community, the benefits of that would be not only to become star travelers, they would share their technology, and we would understand how to build a propulsion system to go close to the speed of light and interdimensional, possibly, but also they would know how to cure diseases, to include this one, you know, that's going on. So
yes, they do.
They know exactly what we're doing wrong, what we need to do right. So that would be so beneficial. But like you mentioned, you know, I think because of their energy level, some people, and I've heard this, read about it, they're like deers in the headlight, you know, when they see one of these things.
Right.
It frightens them to their core, and they're paralyzed. They can't even move. That's why it's incumbent upon all of us to develop ourselves spiritually, because it's the same thing too when we get to heaven. Your soul, and I've talked about this in my show before, it's like a light bulb. While here on earth, then, one of our missions, one of our goals, objectives, is to increase our light. And we do that by learning, by acts of kindness, by communicating with our Creator here. And so desire is too, then, when we come to that point in time when we transition from this existence into the next existence, our soul's light bulb will have been increased. Because when we get to heaven and we find ourselves in front of not only our mother and father God, Jesus, who's there, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, great people that have existed from all cultures throughout the centuries that are there, because religion There's no religion in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one truth, and you know there can't be more than one truth. Each religion claiming to profess their idea of truth. So the fact is, it's my opinion, that when we get there, there will be people from all walks of life, from all faiths there, and everyone will be shining with their own intensity, you know. The ones that shine, have a brighter shining light, are the ones that who have developed themselves more, who maybe have more past lives, you know, who have evolved themselves to that point where maybe they're close to being co-creator gods, you know. And I've talked about this on my show. It's my belief, from what I've researched, is that through that process of reincarnation, to when we go from one level of planet to another, and, you know, either in our galaxy or other galaxies, depending on our level of evolution and spiritual development, the goal is to ultimately get to that last planet, which is like a veritable paradise. It's almost like heaven on Earth, so to speak. The atmosphere is filled with a brilliant light. The colors are more intense. The way of life is purer. You won't find the oceans or the air polluted. The animals there live in harmony. The trees can grow up to 200 meters tall. And these beings that live there have evolved enough to get to that planet. And then from there, it is my belief, and what I've researched, is that then when we're ready to join with the supreme creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang, we can be co-creator gods and have our own solar system. We will have our sun, because like my show says, God is on the sun. The sun is a very special fire. It's a nuclear fire. It's not like the fire of a matchstick. Our spirits, which are in a material body, it's just like the song by the Police, we are spirits in the material world. When we die, our spirits come out of our body. Our spirits are made of light energy, billions of electrons, and our spirits can live in fire. Actually, fire is light. It's just another form of light. So to think that the spirits can't exist on the sun is not logical. But then also, as co-creator mothers and fathers, and that's the whole, Sylvia Brown talked about it, the process of merging. You know Sylvia Brown, of course, right? Being a psychic
right.
person.
She made her transition a while ago.
Yes, God bless her soul. She was a very beautiful person. I read a few
and
of her
another
books.
Good one, too, was, I can't think of her name. I just forgot. I was thinking of somebody else's name that was good, too. But, yeah.
I remember James von Prague.
I did what you just did. Uh-huh.
Oh, well, there was something more important to talk about, I guess.
Dolores Cannon was her name.
Okay.
If you heard
Dolores
of
Cannon.
Dolores Cannon, right. And
I
she
don't
passed
remember her.
Several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She was good.
Have you ever heard... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever heard of a book called, it's been changed. At first it was Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Well, I was talking about the universe is categorized into nine different types of planets. Planet Earth is the number one category, which means it's at the lower stage of evolution. And it's a very, yes, like you said, a very beautiful, a most beautiful world. Over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals, all the trees and the flowers, thousands and thousands of different varieties, fruits and vegetables, a veritable paradise. And if all that happened by accident, ladies and gentlemen, you know, people out there, then it could happen by accident elsewhere. But if there's a creator who's powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, then that creator is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create either the same or different life elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. But
yeah.
I meant to, there's another woman also, another psychic. She was Indian, I believe. And there was a book, something had woes in the title. I forget her name. I read that book. Mary, maybe. I forget her name. Anyway. So what do we need to do to make contact? I mean, you know, they see something, the IGTs out there see something like 9/11 happen, and they go, wow, you know, these people, are they going to destroy themselves or what? You know, it wasn't too long ago when that happened.
Yeah, they thought that 9/11 would wake some people up. It was terrible. And I was talking to a friend in New York the day that she watched it looking out her window, and I was here in Dallas, and so it, you know, I don't know, it was horrendous, but it lasted for several years, and then people just emotionally seemed to, it dies down of its effect, and this that we have now is really worse than 9/11 because it involves the entire planet. But New York has had their share of it. They really have. And I just have so much respect for those first-liners, those, you know, front-liners and first responders. And they put their life and risk their life to save and do their duty. And I feel like so much of them are awakened. They're just going to their duty. It's like a front line in a war, because I think that's what we're in.
Beautiful people. Awesome.
And a lot of people still walking around don't want to look at anything. I know a lot of people who don't like to watch the news. And I say, if we don't watch the news, how do you know what's out there? You know, so we need to be informed about what's going on in our planet.
Yeah, so what do you think about the negativity, you know? I mean, it seems like we watch CNN all the time. And I don't mind it, but sometimes I just got to get away from it, you know, because there's a lot of negativity. And it's such a powerful medium, too. I'm just like...
Well, there's a lot of negativity going on. Yeah. There's a lot of negativity, and everybody's responding to this in their own way, either through anger, fear, reclusiveness, running away and hiding out, the communication among people in general, be it through work or even friends, can be a challenge. And so everybody is experiencing the effects of this. And maybe some of them don't look deep because maybe they can't emotionally go that deep to look. But that's what I've noticed, and this is here for that. You know, I think we should all show love to our fellow humans more, especially the animals. They don't have anybody. And one of my students has a company, and she trains dogs, and she's given her life for them. And she's very much awakened and open. And we talk about the dogs, the cats, birds, and all of them are, you know, depending on us for where they go and where they find their place of refuge from all this. So everybody is a light worker or aware if they have love, because love is the only thing, really, is what it's about, the love for our planet. We have to release the anger. We have to release the hate. And the narcissism and the ego and all of those tiers of levels of from, you know, the higher-ups to how it goes down and trickles down, it's not working anymore. It never really has.
Let me ask you, Karen, I'm a believer, and it's a chapter, one of the chapters in my book is called Mother Gaia. This planet, planet Earth, it's almost like a cosmic being in its own right. You know, it's alive. And, you know, it's just alive, like a real being, in a sense. And it's also going through an evolutionary process like us.
Yes, you mean our planet, Gaia. Yes.
It is.
It's in pain. Because it's in pain for the environment, for the climate changing, for the energies of the people, for the way the people act in all countries. And it's also, and the bottom line is fear, and the bottom line is money. And a life and love is more important than money. And all of this comes down to that, because this is a play. It's like what Shakespeare said. This is a play. It's a play of life. We all have, has its entrances and it has its exits. And we have many plays. We've all had many, many lives. But we are forever. Awesome. The individual person is forever. And when someone leaves their body and when they leave at the time of death, they're still aware and they can still see, talk, and even though they're physically not there. And I've had proof and confirmation on all of this. And but they can, and the only way they can communicate with the life and the earth way is through synchronicities, symbols, connecting the dots and being aware that the dots are connected, and in that way. And sometimes they can break through and make sound. And I just lost my husband 6 months ago, and we planned a communication because he was my soulmate forever and in many, many lives. The last one was in England, and we actually went there.
That's true. I believe. That's true.
And so I was answering my phone, picking messages on my phone one day when I came in, and his voice was on the phone. And it was just three little words, and it's been tested and observed, and it was like it was struggling through dimensional energies. And it said, trying to find a vehicle, a better vehicle. Well, I couldn't believe it. These four people who knew him well, and I have a sound expert, said, wow, that's amazing. How did he do it? I said, well, because he was evolved enough to do something like that. And he's done many, many things. So, awesome. And not just him, but other people can do it. But he was dedicated to this. You know, when we were, because I work for Starworks USA, and every year I did a performance in Laughlin, Nevada, and we had to drive because he had COPD. And so right before, he said, don't worry, we're not going to miss this one. He said, I'll hire a nurse to get us out there. And I said, okay, well, that's probably a little pricey. He said, I don't care, we have to do it. And so he couldn't make it to that point and got sicker, so we weren't able to do it. And but at that conference, they did a tribute to him and played one of my presentations and my music, and this couple saw him, and he touched, I guess, her husband's shoulder, and she wrote to me about it. And so he was great, but there are other people who are too. It's just that he was thinking about this, and he studied it extensively for like 20 years, and he told me he'd always been, but just never talked about it. And I think a lot of people are like that, you know. Blake, I think that, you know, people have a lot of these abilities and they haven't claimed it, you know.
Yes. What do you think of the theory? And what I've
30 seconds.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. So
okay.
Thank you, Karen, for joining us today.
I have really enjoyed it.
At some other time, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, I was honored. It's been fun, and you've been great, and I'm honored that you've had me on your show. It's been wonderful. So any time, I would love to be on your show.
All right. Thank you, Karen. So goodbye to everybody out there. Take care of yourselves, and may God bless us, everyone. Goodbye, Karen.
And I say the same thing. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.